May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee,
O Lord, my rock and redeemer.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I love that hymn. That's one of my favorites. This morning, my wife and I try to have devotion every morning, and it just seems to get the day started just right. Oddly enough, I'm going to give you a summary before I give you the sermon. And it's going to come out of this devotional that Charles Stanley gives us every month. The disciples were blessed to be in Jesus' inner circle. Can you imagine the countless benefits they enjoyed from listening to his teaching and watching him do supernatural wonders? Perhaps you wished you, too, could have lived in those days and walked the dusty roads with him. From our present perspective, we can't conceive of anything greater than seeing Jesus in person. Since that's how the disciples felt, we can understand why they were sad when the Lord announced he was returning to his Father in heaven. But he promised to send them a helper. In fact, Christ's departure was actually to their advantage because the Spirit came then with them. Today we live in the era of the indwelling Holy Spirit, but do they really understand the advantages of having his presence in our lives? Though we can't see Jesus face to face, we can have an even more intimate relationship with him because we carry his Holy Spirit within our bodies. One of the Spirit's tasks is to disclose the things of Jesus. If we need wisdom and insight, he's ready to provide it wherever we read God's word. He also unleashes power in our lives, the same divine power Christ uses to accomplish his Father's will. Despite such wonderful advantages, many believers never sense the Spirit's presence or access the insight and power available to them. Is God's Holy Spirit your intimate companion, guide, or helper? Or is he merely some vague Christian concept? Don't neglect this treasure. Understand that Almighty God lives within you. It's a wonderful summary, and we're all at different levels of our spiritual development. Some are further along than others, and I seem to always still be marveled at the revelations that God continues to give me. And as I was thinking about this driving over this morning, we always talk about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant, and that's really what the New Covenant is. You know, they say, well, nothing's really changed. The world's the same as it was, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Well, nothing's really changing. But yes, it did. Things changed dramatically 2,000 years ago, although sin's never changed 6,000 years ago to the Garden of Eden. Things did change 2,000 years ago with the 33 years that Christ lived among us. But more importantly, what was revealed to me today, well, you knock on the door and finally the door opens. What's different is that the Holy Spirit is now a part of this world. Prior to 2,000 years ago, he wasn't part of this world. And one thing I haven't found out yet, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to throw this out or not, but Christ had to leave this world before the Holy Spirit could come be a part of it. Now, I'm going to do some more digging on that and try to find out why Christ could not be here to allow the Holy Spirit to enter this world, but so be it. Now, Christ left to be with his Father in heaven, right? And he sits at the right hand of his Heavenly Father. But why is the Holy Spirit not on the other side, for instance? You know, these are just ideas that we think about. At least I think about. So today we celebrate Whitsunday, which is another name for Pentecost. It is celebrated on the seventh Sunday after Easter and is followed by Whitsuntide Week. It commemorates the descent of the Holy Spirit down to earth and into Christ's disciples. Whitsunday also marks the beginning of the longest season in the Christian calendar, Pentecost to our Episcopal cousins and Trinity to all other Anglicans. In the pagan world, it marks the beginning of summer. This gospel passage could not have come at a better time for us, and we all seem to be in a transition in our lives and in the life of this parish, and that is equivalent to the transitioning of spring into summer. And we saw some of the transitioning at the altar a few minutes ago. There are many reasons for us to be thoughtful about these changes, especially in the world in which we live. The stock market is setting records, but jobs are hard to find. The gap between the rich and the poor seem to be ever widening. Gas prices are high, but getting better. Wars are raging in hot spots around the world, and it seems we are waiting for the next disaster to happen. And currently, Washington, D.C. is in an all-out upheaval over the scandals of the IRS, Benghazi, and the Associated Press. Now, all these transitions cause us to pause, and we might wonder what might happen next and might be a little difficult to handle under the circumstances. But consider for a moment how the disciples felt when they were informed that their longtime friend and mentor was leaving to be with his Father in heaven. Perhaps they had a sinking feeling. Ugh. Perhaps they faced the fear of the unknown. Perhaps they experienced some sleepless nights wondering what tomorrow might bring. However, through all this change, there appears to be a ray of hope and breath of fresh air. We're at the end of a mild spring season, and summer is around the corner. Forecasters have called for a mild summer, which would be very much welcome. And as evidence of the changes taking place over the last few months, God has taken our Savior Anglican Catholic Church and prepared us for His purpose in the ACC by giving us a new priest in charge. Now we can complement morning prayer with Holy Communion on a regular basis. Contending with all these unforeseen changes, our lives are not much different than they were for Jesus' apostles or the early Christians. There is hope that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who dwells in us, will provide the peace and joy that only God can give. Christ told His disciples that He would be sending a helper in His wake. I can only imagine their anticipation was akin to Christmas Eve, when, like us, there is expectation of something new. Our Heavenly Father knows what is best for us, and His timing is extraordinary. He arrives to comfort us at the moment when we need Him the most, or we are sometimes in our darkest moment. In our moments of sadness and despair, my mother would always recite to her three surviving sons this old saying. I don't know if you've heard this, maybe you have. Darkness is always the greatest just before dawn. Am I right, Ann? Therefore, if we take hold of the promises of Jesus, we learn the following about the Paraclete, another name for the Holy Spirit, as expressed in St. John's Gospel and later in the Johannine Epistles. These seven precepts are: with the Holy Spirit comes a counselor. With the Holy Spirit comes a comforter. With the Holy Spirit comes hope. With the Holy Spirit comes peace. With the Holy Spirit comes joy. With the Holy Spirit comes help. And with the Holy Spirit comes truth. And we can claim all these gifts of the Holy Spirit if we keep God's commandments, as we read in the summary of the law, which reveals the essence of God's commandments to love God with all our heart and to love each other as Christ loved us. This is God's new commandment and part of the new covenant, and it is a test of love that forms one of the main themes of St. John's books of the New Testament. Jesus calls on us to pray in my name, in Jesus' name, so that our prayers will be heard. And why? Because Jesus sits at the right hand of His Father in heaven. And for this reason, He is our best mediator and advocate between us and God. And because of Jesus' proximity to His Father, what? He has God's ear. Jesus promises that He will intervene for us, and for this we should have hope. Christ, God's only Son, sits next to His Father and makes intercessions for us. We cannot have a better fulfillment of God's promise than this. Who better knows what our needs are than Christ Jesus? Who better to petition for us with clarity and resolve than Christ Jesus? And who knows our hearts and minds better than Christ Jesus? Christ has an alter ego, and His name is the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This means He knows our every thought, word, and deed. The Holy Spirit knows us better than we know ourselves because He lives in our inner chamber, the temple of God. If we obey God's commandments, His alter ego, the Holy Spirit, conveys our needs and desires to our Father in heaven. And God then receives that on a first-hand basis. In the Interpreter's Bible, we read, Jesus Christ says Ignatius, an early church father, who is always mindful of you in his prayers, for he ever liveth in us, says the Scripture, to make intercessions for us, as evident in Hebrew chapter 7, verse 25. With his whole life, and being devoted to getting us safely home with him in heaven. Now, Calvin points out that whereas in one place in the New Testament we are told that Jesus sat on the right hand of God, in another he is not sitting but standing, as if he sprang to his feet in urgency of his prayers to God for us. Here is a truth that should hearten and steady all of us and give us hope. Further in the Interpreter's Bible, and this may clarify the theology in relationship to prayer and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ the righteous is called an advocate with the Father. Unlike the transient presence of their master, the disciples will have this counselor with them forever, and us. He is called the Spirit of Truth, and he comes forth from God expressing his essential reality, which found embodiment in the life of the incarnate Logos. John 14:6, where Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And the truth is the mark of his witness to the world. Where the Logos, Jesus Christ, came to his own home, his own people received him not. John 1:11. The same lack of discerning sympathy prevents the world, dominated by the spirit of error, 1 John 4:6, from receiving the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 2:14. By contrast, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. For the Christian disciple, the obedience of love brings the discernment of truth. Knowledge of Jesus involves the welcome of his Spirit and will lead to his abiding presence in the inner council chamber of the soul. The bodily presence of Christ is an external manifestation of that Spirit whose indwelling presence will be characteristic of the new dispensation. Believers will recognize the Spirit because his ministry will be a continuation of the life of Jesus Christ in us. In closing, we find comfort in verse 14:27 when Christ underscores his promises to us by saying, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Then he adds, Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our trust is in the Lord. Therefore, in our times of transition or change, we find rest knowing that God is on the throne and Christ is at his side, advocating for us that we may be comforted and all our needs, and that they all may be realized. Thanks be to God. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.